Good morning.
One of the things that struck me about prayer week, actually, is this painting up here. Don't know if you've worked it out yet, but this is the prodigal son returning to his father. And when you stare at something like that and the way it's been painted, it just brings home kind of how much God loves us and how much it doesn't matter what's happened in our past or what we've done in the past. He's there to accept us, which is a little segue into what I want to look at this morning. I want to look at Christ in our past, Christ in our present, and Christ in our future. So it's a bit of a New Year message. It does link in with our Sunday morning theme, following the way of Jesus, and it could also serve as a bit of an introduction to the digging deeper in February, where we look at 2 Corinthians as a whole book. So it's a real bargain, three things all in one. And I'm going to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 up to verse 1 to verse 22. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over in our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our suffering, so you also share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we have suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but rely on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such deadly peril, and so he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favour granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in holiness and sincerity which come from God. We have done so not accordingly to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. For we don't write to you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because I was confident of this, I planned to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I plan to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia, and then to have you send me on my way to Judea. When I planned this, did I do it lightly? Or do I make my plans in a worldly manner, so that in the same breath I say yes, yes, and no, no? But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by me, Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Quite a long reading. But let's just have a little look at what that says about Christ in our past, Christ in our present, and Christ in our future. It's very interesting that Paul starts off this letter in a very, very confident way. He has a clear sense of who he is, and he has a clear sense of who his priorities are. He makes no bones about it that he is an apostle by the will of God. So he's very firm in what he's called to be and in following the will of God. And then he takes a look back at some of his life journeys. Now, I don't know about you, but there are many ways I find I can look back on my life. Sometimes you can look back on the past wistfully. You know, you surround it with that golden glow and your eyes moisten as you tear up over all the great things that have happened to you. And sometimes you just wish that you could relive some of those days again. If only it was like this. If only today was a bit like the good old days. Sometimes we can look back regretfully and wish maybe that we had taken a different turn, that maybe life had treated us more fairly than it had in the past. We can look back with regret sometimes about the things that have been done to us and said to us that we wish were never said and wish were never done to us. So we can live a life where we regret the past. But sometimes we can look back positively, not just on the good times we have. If we look back into our past positively, we can get some clues about God wants us to do now in the present and what God wants us to do in the future. And one of the things that Paul looks back on both here in Corinthians chapter 1, but also in chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, Acts 21 and Galatians 2, is the sufferings that he has been through. Now, those of us who are familiar with who Paul was, he was somebody that wreaked suffering on other people before he met Jesus and turned his life around. But he was also somebody who, along with others of his friends and Christians of the time, suffered greatly. And he tells a story of how God changed his life. And God is a God of change. He transforms us, turns us around. But it's interesting when you read of when Paul looks back on some of his sufferings, he never really seems to ask the question, why? Why did this happen to me? Why did I go through this? What's it all about? And it's not a bad question on its own. Sometimes you never ever get an answer to the question why. So it's not a bad question, but it seems that Paul makes a choice when he looks back on his sufferings, and he chooses to look back on what happened in the past with thankfulness. Now that is something that needs to sink in. Can we actually choose to be thankful? Is that a choice that we can have? It seems that Paul did. And he sees everything in the light of the grace of God and has an attitude of thankfulness. There's no sense when Paul speaks that God caused all the bad stuff in his life. But his thankfulness and gratefulness comes from the fact that he sees God in them with him and comforting him. And as Paul looks back, it speaks of Christian character. As he responds to the events of his past, it speaks of who he truly is. Now, somebody once said that character is who we truly are in the dark, when no one else is looking, when we're not sitting here in the building on a Sunday morning singing our lovely songs and praying prayers, when we're not gathered around the table on community week, but when we're on our own, when we're in the dark, when no one else is watching, what are we really like then? Bit of a scary thought. Or the other thing is our true character often comes out, doesn't it, under pressure. When life pressures us and squeezes us, then it kind of reaches deep inside and our true character comes out. In verses 8 and 9, we can see that Paul is totally outside of his comfort zone. And when we look back, I expect we can all think of times when we've been taken outside our comfort zone. It's much safer to be warm and cuddly within the boundaries of what we're happy with and we know that we can deal with, when we're not going to be put under pressure, when we're not going to be tested, when we're working within who we think we are. But the thing about this is when we're taken outside of our comfort zone, that is when we learn. That is when we grow. And the more we're taken outside our comfort zone, the bigger our comfort zone becomes and the more of God we can move into. It could be anything. It could be the first time that we pray out loud. That can be a bit scary, can't it? When you've never prayed out loud before, maybe you're in a small group of people. The first time we pray out loud. The first time we tell somebody what we really think about Jesus. The first time we invite somebody along to some gathering in church here. The first time maybe we speak in tongues or prophesy. The first time we go on mission to Romania or anywhere else in the world. It's significant, isn't it? How interesting, how significant it can be in our walk with Jesus the first time we do something. Because the first time is the hardest time. The first time is what takes us outside our comfort zone. And maybe the second time and the third time and the fourth time is not so scary. So I've got this question for you to think about. First question of the morning is this. Just for a moment, look back to when you did something outside. Terry? Cool. Really? Terry told me to prompt him, so I've just prompted him. Look back for the past, just briefly for a moment. When did you do something outside your comfort zone? How did you grow? And how did God show up? So think about that, but don't just think about it. I'm going to take a risk this morning. If this is something you're not comfortable with, don't do it. I hope many of you will. Having thought about this for a while I'm talking, just talk to the person next to you, not for long, just 60 seconds, and just share what it was. Just buzz that question around. So when did you do something outside of your comfort zone? How did you go through it? And how did God show up? So let's hear loads of murmuring as you just talk to the person next to you and bash that around for a bit. If you really don't want to talk to the person next to you, just think it through in your head. Okay, then that will do. Just a quick one. If you have moved seat to be next to somebody, please don't move back because you're going to do that again. See, so this was the first time you've spoken to somebody whilst I'm in the middle of my talk. So that has expanded your comfort zone. So when we do this again later on, you might find it a lot easier maybe than the first time. But finally, as Paul looks back, when he talks about his journey with Jesus, when he talks about who he is and what God has done in his life, you can find he is totally passionate about his role. Now, by trade, he was a tent maker. I'm not sure how passionate he was about making tent, but he was certainly passionate about being an apostle for Jesus. That's what gives him energy. So when we look back at Christ in our past, perhaps another question we can ask ourselves is this. What is it that gave you that energy? What is it in following Jesus gave you that zest of life? What is it that gave you that sense of moving in God's will? Because if you can answer those questions, that can be a bit of a clue to what God wants you to do now and help you to move into the future. So let's have a little look at Christ in our present. Now, when the Bible calls us this idea of calling, of God calling us into the people he wants us to be and maybe the stuff he wants us to do, it talks about us being fruitful disciples and followers of Jesus in all of our life. So in that sense, the calling on each one of us who follow Jesus is the same, to be fruitful disciples, fruitful on our front line, and to follow Jesus in all of our life. But within that overall framework, the priorities about how we work this out can vary, I think, according to where we are in life and our seasons in life. There's quite a bit, when you look in the Bible, about seasons, particularly that bit about the Ecclesiastes. But I'm going to read a short passage from Mark. It's Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Very early in the morning, whilst it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let's go somewhere else. Let's go to the nearby villages so that I can preach there also. That's why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. That seems quite an insignificant few verses, but actually it's quite deeply meaningful. This issue of seasons and this issue of priorities in our life is nothing new. It was always the case with Jesus. What was going on here? He had just been healing many, many people and was probably a bit exhausted, which is why he'd withdrawn to a solitary place to pray. Jesus often does this. He often seeks time to be alone with his Father to seek God's will. Now, the easy thing for Jesus would have been when his disciples came up to him and said, "Look, there's more people here. There's more people who need you. There's more people who want you to heal them and to change their lives." The easy thing would have been to say, "Okay, let's do that again." But Jesus didn't give in to the demands of his disciples. He didn't answer them in the way that they may have expected him to. He wasn't diverted or waylaid. He knew that time that he spent was just for then, and now he needed to do something else. And if he stayed where he was, he could have healed a few, but he needed to move on into the ministry that God had called him to do. So he needed to move on and to preach the message in the villages around. Even with God at the center of who we are, I think we find at different times of our life, different things are important to us. As we try to balance our work life, our recreational life, our family life, our friendships, what we do for Jesus in the community here at TBC, our physical and our emotional and our spiritual well-beings. I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but as you go through the seasons of your life, we're constantly trying to balance those areas. And at different times, different things become more important. I guess the easy thing is when you first have children, God is calling you to be parents to that child and those children and to bring them up knowing him. That's got to be a priority in your life at that particular time. So here's the second question coming up now. It's this. So this is your second chance to talk to each other. Pause for a moment. Think about your life right now. Maybe what season do you think you're in? And if you had a watering can that was full of God's Holy Spirit, where would you sprinkle that water in that from that watering can? Because remember, a watering can is finite. So this helps you think about where your priorities are in your seasons of life. Where would you sprinkle God's Holy Spirit? So do the same thing, just for a few seconds. Just try and buzz around that question. Off you go. This is the last time I'm going to get you to talk. It's fine. Okay, then that will do. Thank you. So let's have a little look at Christ and our future. Maybe through some of those just little 60 seconds, you've started a conversation with somebody that you might like to finish at 10:30, or you might like to go over in the corner for prayer, to pray through it and talk it through. Maybe God might be showing us something significant this morning. Now, I expect the answer to the question, where does God want you to sprinkle your Holy Spirit, is to work in children's and youth ministry of Thornbury Baptist Church. I'm sure that's what you all said, but no, I'm kidding. So what about Christ in our future? How easy is it for each of us to step into the future with Christ? Or maybe particularly, what holds us back from entering into everything that God has planned for us to do? So I want to look at three things that can hold us back into stepping into the future with Jesus. And the first is this: being a follower of Jesus is hard. Now, that probably doesn't come as a surprise to many of you, but it is hard to be a Christian. It is hard to follow Jesus. It's not always easy. It's hard to be a disciple. And Jesus knows this. That's the good thing, because he spoke of us needing to pick up our cross to follow him. We're not immune from the ups and downs of life. Not one of us are. It's possible to give up following Jesus when suffering comes along and to just say, I can't do this anymore. Maybe we've just been hit with a bolt out of the blue and we've just been diagnosed as having an illness. Maybe something's happening in our family that we just wish wouldn't happen. It could be a number of any things. Maybe our job has become insecure. It's very easy to say, I cannot do this anymore. Maybe we have idealistic expectations of God. Paul touches on this in chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians. But one of the words that came through strongly at the beginning of the reading from verses 1 to 4 is Paul also talks about the comfort of God and knowing God's comfort in our sufferings. And for him, it wasn't just an intellectual exercise. It wasn't something he just knew in his mind. It was something he had to experience as a reality in his life. It's very easy to harden our hearts towards God when suffering comes along. But we need to keep our hearts open to receive his comfort. And I know that as I say that, that can be easier said than done. Second thing, as well as hardship, we can be concerned about what others might think of us. We can hold back from stepping into the future because we think, what will our parents think? What will our friends think? What will so-and-so think of what I'm doing? Maybe we're not even always totally aware of how affected and impacted we are about what others think of us and how much that's important in our life. But here's the thing. As long as we're trying to follow the way of Jesus, it really doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about us. We develop our own identity in and through Christ. And if our hearts are truly set on following him, does it really matter what other people think about us? In verses 15 and 17 of our reading, Paul talks about changing his plans. The background to this is that Paul had made one visit to the church in Corinth, and he found it a very painful experience, both for him and for the church. And he was going to go back again. That's what he had planned. But because the church hadn't really changed their ways, he postponed his visit. Well, imagine how that went down with the church in Corinth. Paul, you said you were going to come. You said you were going to come twice. You know, why have you not come? You know, you're fickle. You promised, did you really mean that promise when you said it? So he was under a lot of pressure to keep his promise of saying, I'm going to come a second time. He could have given in to that. That could have been the easy way out. Okay, I've heard you. I'm going to come and do my second visit. But he didn't. His priority was to stay true to God's call on his life and not to please other people. So he did what he thought was right. That's easy. That's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes I know, a fear of upsetting people that can hold me back from being a faithful follower of Jesus. What would it look like if we weren't worried about what people were thinking of us, but we were a faithful disciple of Jesus? So life is hard, that can hold us back. What will other people think of us? That can hold us back. But the third thing that can hold us back is this: how much do we really believe and trust in God's promises to us? And that's what Paul says in verse 18. If God promises, then he delivers on his promise. If Jesus hadn't come, we might have doubted God. We might have doubted that God was too good to be true. Jesus is a guarantee that the promises of God, whether big or small, are true. And we also have the Holy Spirit as a promise of all the benefits of eternal life and God's presence with us. The Holy Spirit as comforter and counselor and as guide. How many of us have set our hearts on fire recalling the promises that God has spoken into our life and made to each one of us? This is what Paul is talking about in verses 20 and 22. So I don't know how each of you have felt this morning, looking back at the past, looking at the future, and thinking about what God might want you to move into. I know it made me think, preparing this, and made me reevaluate some of the things that have happened in the past in my life. It's a natural thing to do once in a while, but it can stir up a lot of things in our minds and in our emotions and even in our spirit. And maybe not all of those things are healthy and things that we need to bring before God to deal with. It can be unhealthy to constantly go over and over the past. Because if we always go over the past, we will stay there, we will get stuck there, we won't enjoy what God has for us to do now, and we won't be able to step into the future. Similarly, it can be unhealthy to get stuck going over and over the now, constantly looking at things from all angles, never making a decision, never moving on into what God has in store for us. And as for the future, well, sometimes that can seem like stepping into a big black hole. Talking about taking us outside our comfort zone, some of the things that God might be calling us to in the future may be absolutely huge and life-changing. I don't know what our individual circumstances are. But encouragement for us all in this is every so often it's good to review our past, our present, and our future and come before God and bring them into the light. Every so often it is good to come before God in this way. Maybe sometimes we think we haven't got the time to reflect and to deal with these issues, but really honestly, it's a matter more perhaps of how we choose to spend the time that we have. We need to make meeting God a matter of priority in our life. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says this: "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith." Maybe that means there's some issues in the past that still need to be dealt with. Well, let's bring them to Jesus. Maybe as we live in the now, we're struggling with where our priorities are and where does Jesus want us to spend our time? Where does he want us to sprinkle the Holy Spirit that he's given to each one of us? And for the future, who knows in many senses, but I expect some of us are wondering, what next? Where next, God? Let's fix our eyes on Jesus and trust him to carry us through. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. So we're going to use this time to fix our eyes on Jesus and just open ourselves up to him, continuing the conversation he's already begun with us this morning. Maybe speaking into the conversations you've had with the person sitting next to you. And just invite his Holy Spirit to come and to minister amongst us and to take those conversations on. Maybe you're somebody this morning that needs to know that comfort that Paul spoke of. Well, let the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, come and bring you that comfort. Maybe you're weighing up priorities for now. Let God speak to you in a clear way and say, this is my priority for now. And if you're trying to work out what the future holds and something's holding you back, let God break the chains for what's holding you back.